Okay, good evening, everybody, and welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me. It is a pleasure once again to spend some time with you. Tonight, I hope to continue the conversation that we started several weeks ago. Hindsight in 2020, trying to focus on some essential takeaways from the ongoing COVID crisis. What I'd like to do this evening is actually focus a little more broadly. Until now, for the past 2 weeks, and Bezras Hashem for the next 3 weeks, I hope to really focus more specifically on certain topics. But tonight, particularly because of the fact that we are now, you know, Erev Rosh Chodesh Av, we are now in a very, you know, a very special, and I would even say a very auspicious time of year. We don't typically think of the 3 weeks and the 9 days as being so, but really an opportunity to focus and to try to sort of connect the conversation that we've been having with the time in which we find ourselves right now. And I'm going to do so by actually referencing an idea that I shared in Shabbos HaGadol, which was over 3 months ago. Some of you perhaps may have heard me speak then, in which case some of this will be a chazara for those who didn't. So then you'll be hearing this idea, at least for me, for the first time. Now, it goes without saying, we're not going to, you know, waste any time tonight, you know, trying to build up this point and make this point. But, you know, so much disruption, so much chaos has taken place over the past few months. And if we would dare to hone in on one word, which would sort of capture it all, I think we'd be hard-pressed to do so. I think it's fair to say that there is nothing sort of that unifies this entire experience for us. At the same time, I think if we give that just a little more thought and consideration, we may discover that's not so. That maybe, really from day one, there has been a certain idea, a certain concept, and I will be more specific, a word that really has been there from day one. And the word that I am thinking about is distance, right? The concept of social distancing, for example, which is not just a technical term, but really a very apt description of what has taken place, of this incredibly, you know, disruptive orientation, which has sort of defined the essence of what we've been experiencing over the past several months. Every part of our personal, communal, organizational, and really global experience has been completely changed. Obviously, we spoke last week about shuls and schools, our places of gathering, a place of employment, simchas, wedding, bar mitzvahs, even the way that we carry out acts of chesed, be it through bikur cholim, attending levayas lo aleinu, nicham aveilim, dating, that entire experience has been changed, traveling, and basically the common denominator among all of these areas of our life which have been changed so dramatically is the need to distance, the need to, you know, step back, most importantly and most significantly one from another, but just the idea of distance in general. Now, what I'd like to do, not only because I think that it has sort of homiletic value, but I think substantively, I think it's very, very relevant, particularly for the time in which we find ourselves right now, is really to think about that idea and ask ourselves, what may this mean? You know, if in fact Ribbono Shel Olam has imposed a time of distance, of richuk upon us and the entire world, so what are we supposed to take away from that? So, of course, I've already issued a disclaimer a couple of times over the past few weeks, and I'm going to do so right now. The simple answer to that question is I don't know. I have no way of knowing. I am not coming to you, speaking to you as a prophet, as anyone with any great insight over here, as if I know what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. At the same time, if the entire world literally is focused on this concept of distance, the need for distance, so then I think it's a good opportunity for us to think about, you know, what does distance mean? You know, how do we relate to that term? What does it mean to be rachok as a Jew? And how do we compare that to another concept, an idea, which we define, describe, identify as kiruv, karov, to be close. So what I'd like to share with you tonight is a short excerpt from the Sefer Ali Shur, the Sefer from Rav Shlomo Volba, Zichrono Livracha, and this comes from the second volume, where he has several pieces on the period of Bein HaMetzarim, the 3 weeks and the 9 days. And here what I'd like to do with you, rather than share it with you outside, I'd like to read it with you inside. For those of you who are, hopefully everybody's able to see the screen in front of you, you could follow along. So Rav Ovel points out that there's an interesting halach in Shulchan Aruch, Ein Omim Tachnun B'Tisha B'Av, that we do not recite Tachnun on Tisha B'Av, which is a little strange, because normally we think about omitting Tachnun on a day of celebration, and Tisha B'Av, of course, is the most tragic day of the year. It's the saddest day of the year. So if you would think that if there's any day in which we would say Tachnun, it would be Tisha B'Av. And the reason is Mishum De Mikri Moed, because based on a pasuk that actually is found in Megillas Eicha, that Tisha B'Av is called a moed. So says Rav Ovel Admor, is a reference to his Rebbe Rabbi Yerucham, Amar al zeh davar amok. He said something very deep, very profound. Yesh no moedim shel kiruv. There are certain festivals, there are certain holidays, if you will, that are moments in time of kiruv, of closeness, such as the Shalosh HaRegalim, the three festivals, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. V'yesh no moed shel richuk. And there is also a concept of a moed of richuk, of distance, v'zeu Tisha B'Av. And that's sort of the end of the quote from Rabbi Yerucham. V'yesh lahavin, says Rav Ovel, eich shayich likvo a moed al richuk mehaborei. What does that mean? How is it possible that we should establish a yomtif, a holiday, a moed, a festival, celebrating distance from our Creator? But he says, in order to understand this, we have to appreciate that there's actually a third state of being. Milvad kiruv arichuk, in addition to the idea of being close and being far, distant, there's another state of being. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva describes this state of being people who mikerev libam, from within their hearts, avad cheshbon anafshem, they've sort of lost their way. And he quotes the pasuk, "Kigoy ovad etzos hema v'kamehim madriga tachtoni." These are people that have sort of lost their way. They're acting in a way that makes no sense. And this, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is actually the lowest level. The Vobo goes on to explain, what does this mean? Mikerev libam of nechesh nashbam lo rachok v'lo karov, lo karov v'lo rachok. These are people that are not close or far, rather poreach ba'avi, or just sort of wandering or flying aimlessly in the air. Such an individual can imagine for himself for a moment that, you know what, I'm a complete person, I'm a good guy, but in truth, such a person is completely lost in a way. Person thinks that he's engaged in a life of mitzvos, but it's the opposite. This is the lowest level. Lower than every other level. And Alzeh, he says, on this, Yirmiyahu HaNavi complained or chastised his generation. We actually just read this past Shabbos in the Haftarah. Ech tomi lo nitmesi, says Yirmiyahu HaNavi, how could you say lo nitmesi, I have not defiled myself? Acharei habayim lo halachti, that I did not follow in the ways of other gods. Re'i darkecha begei de'ima asisa. Look what you've done. And he goes on to cite other psukim, that he nishpat oscha alam rechol chatasi. The Navi says that God says, I'm going to hold you accountable not for sinning, but for saying lo chatasi, that I didn't sin. Hare goes on with Obo to say that Yirmiyahu was pleading with the people of his generation who believed, haminu be'emeski in ova b'kapam, they believed that they were not really doing anything wrong. They were able to find rationalizations for everything they were doing, even the worst things that we can imagine. Vihine kel emes Hashem, says Rabbo, God is a God of truth. Al Rasha Hamod al Pisho Yehu Yachal Rachim. God can forgive, can have compassion on a Rasha who acknowledges his sin. Achlo amisha over cheshba melibo. How can God have compassion on a person who doesn't even keep score, who just has completely lost his way? Goes on to say, this was basically a description of the generation preceding the Churban Beis HaMikdash. At the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, their eyes were opened, and suddenly they realized how distant they were. V'alakores harichuk hazeh, kavumoed shel richuk. Here's the punchline, which is such a phenomenal idea. At the moment when they recognized how far they were, they established a yomtiv. Tisha B'Av is a yomtiv, it's a moed. Why? In celebration of the recognition of the richuk. V'omek ha'inyin uzeh. Here's how we understand it on a deeper level. Kasher Adam omed al atzmas richuk u'memenu yizbarach, when a person realizes how far he is from God, he recognizes and he can sort of distinguish, Amnon rachok, aba yachas yesh kfar ben olavein bor. Yeah, it's true. There's distance, but there's a relationship. If a person is completely lost his way, it's ke'ilu, there's no relationship. And once again, halokel emes Hashem. Hashem is a God of truth. A person who is, again, like I said, sort of, he's no longer keeping score. He's completely disassociated himself, as it were. So this is a life of sheker. V'shamen yachas. Ba'amdol arichuk, when a person realizes how far he is, mitzdar el arichuk, yes. This brings him great pain, which is why Tisha B'Av is a great day of mourning. It's a sad day. Avalu amad al emes, but there is finally a recognition of truth. Nekudas ha'emes hazos kvar mikaravtu alav yizbarach. And this recognition brings a person, paradoxically, brings him closer to God. Dai b'hakaras emezos, afsha aricha kunora. And you know what? It is, on a certain level, it is sort of like we would say, it's worth it just to have this moment, this revelation of truth, even though that revelation reveals great distance, an awesome distance. L'kvoa aleha moed sharichuk. This already is worth it, so to speak, in order to establish a moed sharichuk. And the last paragraph writes of Ova, in lanu asaga mimadregas akla yisub as man shebeis hamigdash kayim. We can't really understand what madrega the Jewish people were on at that time. Ki ein lanu asaga b'kedushas beis hamigdash. We can't really appreciate and relate to the idea of the sanctity of the beis hamigdash. Achanachnu, however, we shkuam anachnu b'chefzei gufeinu v'hevliz manenu. We are completely immersed in our own shtuyot. We feel completely satisfied in the world in which we live. It's as if we have completely lost the way. We should therefore try on Tisha B'Av lamod. Our goal on Tisha B'Av should be to focus on the distance. And through this recognition, so then we can actually establish, like he says, this moed, this day of celebration of this richuk. So what a profound idea that at a time of distance between God and the Jewish people, it is also, there's an element of celebration in that, in the fact that we have at the very least recognized how far we are. So it is possible, in my opinion, I think we should consider the possibilities, particularly as we are a little more than 1 week away from Tisha B'Av, the Moed of Richuk, to think about the fact that these 4 months, a period of time which has been defined by Richuk, a period of great distance, to realize that maybe, beforehand, we were not necessarily experiencing an existence of Kiruv. You know, perhaps we just weren't thinking about it, and so therefore we sort of assumed that we were. You remember a couple of weeks ago I made this point that one of the most important takeaways of this experience is that we should assume nothing. No, the uncertainty of everything in and of itself is an important takeaway. So beforehand we had our routines. We would get up in the morning. A very important part of that routine for many of us, we would go to shul, which we took for granted, and we would daven. And, you know, we would perhaps have chavrusas before or after. We would interact with people. Some of us would go to school and work. And we had our routine. And that routine includes many interactions, certainly with other people, with the Ribbono Shel Olam, interactions that perhaps we would have, and not because we were looking to somehow delude ourselves, but we would have characterized, we would have defined as being experiences of Kiruv, in which there was a true, genuine closeness that we were feeling, one with another, with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and perhaps with ourselves. But since our lives have been so significantly disrupted, And again, I recognize I'm talking to people who find themselves at different places geographically and also different stages in the in this period of transition. I think it's fair to say that we are all still experiencing, whether by choice or because this has sort of been imposed on us, we are still experiencing a time of distancing. So to ask ourselves, maybe beforehand we weren't as close, in fact, to whatever it is that we were connected to as we imagined that we were. Now, last week I spoke about shuls. I spoke about the idea of sort of rediscovering the kedusha that we can find in our homes. And the focus last week was not really on shuls, but it was really on the ability to develop a sense of kedusha within the home. And that is an opportunity that we have been offered over the past few months that we would still be foolish if we did not take full advantage of. But I'd like to just focus momentarily tonight on sort of the what led up to that. And that, of course, has been the very painful and really very dreadful reality of being closed out of our shuls. Some of us are still closed out of our shuls, some of us are in, but in various capacities. And I hope each and every one of us, no matter where we are in this process, recognize and appreciate, you know, that sense of loss that we felt when we couldn't come into the shul. Now, beforehand, and presumably afterwards, we won't be rachok from our shuls, we will be karov, the opposite. What does it mean to be karov? How do we define kiruv when we speak about a shul, particularly a shul as a beis hakneses, as a house of prayer? So how do we define kiruv? So I think perhaps the pasuk that really optimally highlights what it is that we should strive for in our relationship with Hashem is a pasuk that we say every day. Actually, we say it three times a day. Karov Hashem l'chol karov l'chol asher yikru'u v'emes. The pasuk says that Hashem is close to anybody who calls to him, l'chol asher yikru'uhu b'emes. Anybody who calls to him from a place of truth, which really means from a place of sincerity. A person who is genuine and sincere in their desire and their attempt and the avenue in which they choose to connect with Hashem, such a person is by definition karov to God. Which means, conversely, we have to sort of think about what that means. That if I come to shul and I open a siddur and I daven, but I am not davening from a place of emes, meaning that connection is not truly genuine at that moment. Maybe I'm distracted or I'm allowing myself to become distracted. Maybe I'm talking to other people. Maybe I am reading something else, be it an actual newspaper or something in my, or throw my phone in my hand or something else. Or maybe even learning. Maybe even learning when davening. It's true, I'm doing something which is worthwhile. I am engaged in something which is a holy form of service of Hashem. But is that a time that I'm actually fulfilling karov Hashem l'chol karov l'chol asheikur v'mes, if I'm really supposed to be? If right now I'm going through the motions, ki'ilu, as if I am davening, as if I am at that moment performing a mitzvah which the Torah defines as avodah shebelev. Right, of course, there's a lot of heart that we need to bring to the mitzvah of Lima Torah, but it's only the mitzvah of tefillah that the Torah says, u'liyavda b'chol avavchem. Chazal tell us that tefillah is an avodah shebelev. And ironically and strangely, some people experience, at least initially, when they were banned from their shuls, for the first time, they actually, well, not necessarily the first time, but for the first time and the last time, and in a long time, they started to actually feel a sense of genuine connection and closeness and longing to Hashem. So, it's an opportunity to consider the fact that maybe the way we had been serving Hashem is with too much of a focus on the external, on the shell, rather than the internal. I want to remind you, not that you forgot, but this coming Shabbos, Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, is named Shabbos Chazon because of the opening word of the Haftorah, the opening perek of the Sefer Yeshayahu. And take a look. I don't have time right now to read the psukim inside, but take a look at the Haftorah that we're going to read this Shabbos. Some of those powerful words, and really, really, really to go to the heart and to the core of what we're saying, how the Navi Yeshayahu says, listen, folks, you know, you may be bringing all the karbanos in the world and observing Shabbos and doing all these mitzvahs, but Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not interested, because the pneumius, the inside of it is completely lacking. And I'm paraphrasing a lot, but it's good to see it inside, because, you know, Yeshayahu holds no punches. And he calls it the way it is. And it's very, very, very strong mussar. You're completely missing the point. You're focusing on all the wrong things. You've been looking at the externals, the exterior, the symbols, the rituals, but you have forgotten about the soul. Another obvious area in which we are experiencing social distancing is when it comes to social distancing between one and another. Here again, I turn your attention to something that's just very timely, so I couldn't pass up this opportunity, as we are once again getting closer to Tisha B'Av. On the day of Tisha B'Av, we know that there's an Isser of She'ela Shalom, that we are not permitted to greet one another. Now, this is a little strange, because when you think about it, the Gemara in Yoma teaches that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. We don't know exactly what Sinas Chinam is, but we know that it involves some sort of breakdown in relationships, Ben Adam L'Chavero. You would think that Tisha B'Av would be the perfect day to go ahead and to restore those broken relationships. Tisha B'Av would be the most opportune time of the year to go ahead and to work on the way in which we say Shalom Aleichem one to another. So, I have a sefer with me, but time doesn't allow to actually open it up and read it inside. So I'll refer you to the words of Rav Mordechai Druck in the Sefer Darish Mordechai, where he explains that there's a pasuk in, and again in the Navi Yirmiyahu, he explains that there are times that people say Shalom one to another. Shalom es riyeyu yidaber, says the Navi, uvikir bo yasim arbo. There are times that people say Mashal Malach Aleichem, but inside, this person is sort of plotting against this very person as at the moment that he's greeting. Meaning that greetings, that interpersonal relationships one with another have become, again, perhaps like davening, very external, superficial exercises, rather than reflecting a genuine and sincere desire to come close one with another. And Rav Druck goes on to say, as the Navi says, that this is sanoi to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a certain hypocrisy when people talk the language of greetings, but they don't really care about the person that they are speaking to. And so Tisha B'Av is an opportunity for us to sort of step away, step back, and to say, you know what? Beforehand, we were pretending to be close, right? That's the words of Rabbeinu Yonah, like we saw beforehand. Avad cheshbon anafsham. We were sort of imagining that we were doing one thing, and now we stop, we press the reset button. I remember Rabbi Reisman years ago when he spoke about this, such a beautiful mashal that he gave, that sometimes, you know, when you're working on your computer, you're trying to get something, and all of a sudden it freezes. You don't know what to do. It just freezes. You're pushing this button, and you have no choice. The only way to get it started again is to turn the whole thing off, or even to unplug it. Unplug it, you count to 10, and then you plug it back in, you start all over again. Sometimes it's the only way to sort of reboot the system. Tisha B'Av is supposed to be like a reboot, a hard reset on our greetings one to another, the way we relate to one another, because perhaps it's been lacking sort of the kiruv, the sense of closeness that should be a given, that is really the basis and the foundation of any relationship. So, perhaps, again, these are two areas. I could think of many more. And in fact, like I said when I spoke about this a few months ago, I did. Many more areas, and I encourage you, because we don't really have that much more time together, to perhaps do so on your own. To think about the areas in your life in which things have been very, very disrupted, in which you've had to either completely suspend or reduce the sort of functioning that we were familiar with beforehand, and Be'ezras Hashem, we will return to. There's nothing ideal about the state that we find ourselves in right now, at least gadol. But take advantage of this opportunity to say what was lacking, and maybe what appeared at the time to be a time of social closeness wasn't as close as I really had imagined beforehand. You know, there are times that we can actually see things. There are times that we can draw closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a distance. We see that from Avraham Avinu. Perhaps one of the most difficult, challenging, we don't always think about the time of the Akedah as being a dark time in Avram's life, but the Medrash certainly describes it as such. A time of great concern and worry from Avram Avinu, the Pasuk says, Vayi bayam ashlishi, vayisa Avram aseinov, vayares amakom, meirachok, that he was able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a distance. That there are things that we can see at a time of distancing that sometimes it's very difficult to see when we are very close up. And so therefore, both within the areas of Ben Adam L'Makom, as well as Ben Adam L'Chavero, we should try to strive for closeness. when it comes to Ben Adam Lam Makom, so the Pasuk says, Dir Shu Hashem Behimatso, Ki Ra'u Bi'Oso Karov, that we should seek out Hashem when He's close. Now, Chazal tell us that that's a reference to the period of Aseres Yimei Teshuva, but not exclusively, that we can make an attempt, we should make an attempt, as the Pasuk in Ashri says, I just said, Karov L'Hashem L'chol Karov L'chol Asher, Yikruv Ames, to come closer to Hashem. V'kei Rav Tano Malkein Alavad Asecha. We can achieve this if we try to cultivate, to nurture, to develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which can only come, as the Pasuk says, Be'emes. V'tayir libeinu li'avdecha Be'emes. The only way that we can have Taras Alev, if it is coming from a place of Emes, from a place of truth. And when it comes to our relationships, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, here as well, we have to think about the way that we interact with one another and look at people differently. Look at people from more of an honest, genuine perspective. Try to be more forgiving, compassionate, tolerant, accepting. And if we can do so, maybe, we will sort of earn our right to once again be socially close one with another. And not have to be subject to this continued imposition of social distancing. And I have to say that, social media is not a form of genuine connection. It's true that there are things that we can do through social media that we can't do otherwise. This connection that we have right now, which is a virtual connection, is amazing. It allows us to connect at a time that we wouldn't otherwise be able to do so, bringing people together who are distanced geographically. Wonderful. But we were never supposed to connect truly. Human beings were never supposed to connect through some sort of electronic medium. And we've allowed these devices as well as these platforms to completely hijack our brains and our hearts. And we have corrupted the entire manner in which human beings were intended or built and designed to communicate in the first place. I remember once I was looking at some of the features of like the new phones that were coming out. This is a long time ago. So I remember the time they had this thing called the Palm Pilot. You must remember, some of you. So the Palm Pilot, when it came out, the newer versions would say how many contacts they had. Like the first version of the Palm Pilot mainly had like 200 contacts or maybe 1,000. Next one, 2,000. At a certain point, it says this one could hold 5,000 contacts or 10,000 contacts. At a certain point, it becomes obvious that that's more contacts than human beings were ever designed to have. It's very nice that my phone can hold 1,000,000 contacts, but what does that do for me? How meaningful can any of my relationships be with people if I can somehow contact at any point? I'm connected to tens or hundreds of thousands of other people. My brain can't possibly hold that. So it's very nice that my phone can. We have allowed technology to completely, again, hijack our system of socializing. It's not a good thing. And so therefore, at this time of social distancing, ironically, even though technology has brought us together, we should be smart enough to realize technology has certain benefits, but it cannot, and it may never. We dare not allow it to sort of replace genuine human connection and communication. So, in conclusion, at this time in history in which we have found ourselves now 4 months in, at a time of great distance that has been imposed upon us, as we find ourselves on the eve of Erev, on the eve of Rosh Chodesh Av, tonight is Erev Rosh Chodesh, at a time in which we experience Richuk, distance from Hashem, we should take some comfort, in the words of Rucham as explained by Rav Volba, that we do not see Tachlon on Tisha B'Av because it is a Moed. What type of Moed is it? As a Moed She Richuk, that we can find a degree of celebration, really celebration, in recognizing where we are, in relationship to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, relationship to other people, in relation to ourselves. That is a reason to celebrate. And so therefore, even though this is such a dark and sad and tragic time of history and a difficult time of the year, we have an opportunity to use this as a time of reflection and Be'ezras Hashem, a time of connection in which we can come closer to all those subjects in our life to which we are and we should strive to become close. The Rabbonu Shel Olam with one another and ultimately with ourselves. Thank you so much for joining me. It's a pleasure as always, and I look forward to continuing this conversation, Be'ezras Hashem, next week.
Thank you.